Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2013 Investor Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, Jade. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2013 Investor Conference Call of Amerigo Resources on Tuesday, November 12, 2013. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information, because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued November 8, 2013, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our Chairman and CEO, Dr. Klaus Seiler.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome, everybody. I just like to make a few short comments, and then I will ask Rob Henderson, our President and CEO, and Aurora Davidson, our CFO, to give more detailed comments. And then, of course, after that, we will entertain questions. From an operational point of view, there were two significant changes in the third quarter. The first one is the reduction of the cash costs, and we have been working diligently during this year to achieve such a reduction. The cash costs are down to $1.93 per pound of copper, and that is lower than in the good production first quarter, where they were $1.99. And they are, of course, significantly lower than in Q2, where we had the wall problem in the Colibas extraction area, where they were $2.31, and they are, of course, much lower than during 2012. The other significant change is the reduction in the sustaining capital expenditures, which will continue into Q4, where we will spend only approximately $2 million per quarter of sustaining capital expenditures, excluding Cauquenes. Strategically, there were also two big news. The one was, of course, happened during the third quarter, and that was the approval by the Codelco board of the major terms of an agreement for the extension of the fresh tailings contract and the rights to the historic tailings of Cauquenes. And then subsequent to the quarter end, it was the signing of a mandate agreement with BBVA, which is the world's 33rd largest bank in assets for the financing of the expansion of the Cauquenes project. So I want to just leave it with these four very important points and now ask Rob to go into details with respect to production and costs.
Thank you, Klaus. The third quarter of 2013 saw a big improvement on Q2, and MVC did well to recover production from Caliwas, and they operated safely with no employee lost time incidents. MVC produced 11 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $1.93 per pound. The copper production in Caliwas was lower than in Q3 2012, primarily as a result of lower copper recovery from material extracted in Q3 2013. And this was due to the planned mine sequence, exacerbated by the slide event in April, which has delayed access to better quality material. In Q3 2013, the fresh tailings contained more refractory copper material compared to Q3 2012 due to the mine plan to the engine. And this caused higher grades at MVC but lower recoveries. And the net result was that there was similar fresh tailings copper production levels compared to last year. Due to the lower than expected copper price so far this year, we've been focused on cost reduction efforts. And I'm pleased to say that the cost control measures initiated this year are having a positive impact on operating results. And the Q3 cash costs, as Klaus mentioned, at $1.93 per pound, which are 25% lower than the 2012 Q3 cash costs. This is a significant achievement. Also, total CapEx for 2013 is expected to be $11 million, which is less than half of the CapEx incurred in 2012. Looking forward to Q4, we expect copper production to improve slightly, and our production guidance for 2013 is 45 million pounds of copper and 800,000 pounds of molybdenum. Our cash cost guidance is $1.95 to $2.15 per pound of copper. The Cauquenes expansion project EIA request was submitted in January, as we previously disclosed this year, and the regulators are in the final phase of work on dust modeling. This work has taken longer than expected, but we anticipate regulatory approval in the next few months. I'll now hand over to Aurora Davidson to discuss the Q2 financials.
Thank you, Rob. In Q3 2013, Amerigo posted a net profit of $1 million and generated cash flow from operations of almost $5 million. These results were achieved at an average realized copper price of $3.19 per pound, which is the lowest of the year so far, as in Q1 we had an average selling price of $3.52 per pound, and in Q2 it was $340 per pound. As Rob mentioned, production improved from Q2 levels, and quite importantly, we were able to reduce operating costs, reaching a cash cost of $1.93 per pound and a total cost of $2.96 per pound, including the El Teniente royalties. The cost reductions represent a decrease of 31 cents in cash cost from Q2 and a decrease of 52 cents per pound in total cost from Q2 levels. We continue to explore with MVC further opportunities for cost reductions in 2014 and beyond. On a year-to-date basis, our profit has been $3.5 million, but more importantly, we have generated more than $16 million from operating cash flow. The most significant use of the cash flow has been in investing activities, where we have allocated almost $10 million to CapEx on a year-to-date basis. We have also been able to improve the company's working capital and moved from a working capital deficiency of almost $5 million at the start of the year to net working capital of $4 million at September 30th. The most significant single CapEx item in 2013 has been in respect of engineering, permit, and other costs incurred for the Cauquenes project, representing approximately 41% of our 2013 incurred CapEx, with the second most important item being the expansion of extraction capacity at Colihue's, which represents approximately 40% of 2013 incurred CapEx. And the remaining 19% has been distributed amongst various sustaining CapEx projects. Klaus has already mentioned, we achieved a significant milestone in October with the signing of a finance mandate with BBVA for the financing of the Cauquenes project and are currently in the due diligence phase of this process while we continue to work on other aspects that will come into play once we have the Cauquenes expansion.
Operator, this is our presentation. We are now open for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Stephen Autridge in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Can you just expand a bit more on the financing with BBVA, what you anticipate occurring?
As we said, we have just started the due diligence process. And it is difficult to make any statements before the bank has not finished that important exercise. We are very positive that the due diligence will come out with a positive result, and we therefore think that the bank loan from a consortium of banks under the leadership of BBVA will finance the vast majority of the required capital expenditures for Cauquenes.
Okay, so. So, when do we expect the Cauquenes to be fully into the stream of into processing? Oh, let me say it again. With the full expansion, when do you expect the full expansion to be operating?
Rob, the full expansion would take approximately 2 years.
Correct. Yeah.
But we will be able to increase production before the full installation of all the equipment.
Yes. No. I understood that. Okay. Let somebody else ask a question.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have any questions. The next question is from John Polcari in New York. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Klaus. As commendable as the reduction in operating costs is and the complete payment of the debt and generating modest cash flow, I'm hard-pressed to see how we become more substantially profitable without a considerable increase in the price of copper, which obviously you or myself or anybody else has no control over. If we assume that the strip is correct and that the price of copper stays under $4, and I look at the cash flow generation from the latest quarter, And I'm wondering how you would service the substantial amount of incremental debt required for the CapEx program and also reinstate a dividend. And I mentioned reinstating the dividend because, and I'm paraphrasing you, but I believe I can quote you on a prior transcript saying you were adamant that you would not entertain financing that did not involve or allow the company to also simultaneously pay a dividend. Also, if it takes several months to get approval, several months to get financing, now we're into 2014, because everything for the last 4 or 5 years has taken not only additional months, but additional years to accomplish. Again, not a reflection on the management, just a reflection perhaps on the operating environment. But if it takes 2 years to complete the project, we're already 1 year into the lower power costs. 2 more years would put us 3 years into the lower power costs, so we would be within 24 months of the lower power cost agreement expiring. We'd be subject to higher power costs again. The power costs only, in my understanding, is the power costs, the lower power costs only relate to the existing purchased power, not the incremental power required for the CapEx expansion. So, once again, we'd be dealing with higher costs from higher power, barring something else we don't have control over, such as hydroelectric prices. And then lastly, there's a considerable amount of options that are expiring because they were set at relatively high prices when the stock price is more robust. And those are in the process of expiring this year, next year, the year after. And I'm reluctant to see those get reissued, as management has a tendency to do at a lot of, particularly a lot of mining companies, with the stock down from $2 several years ago to toying with an all-time low just set last month, and now currently today at 36 cents in Canada. Even if the, as the proxies tend to do, even with a 20% premium, that would price options, any future options at just north of 40 cents. And I was wondering if we would have your assurance that we would not be subjected to the reissuance of millions of new options at this extremely depressed price. It's easy to reissue options that reset the price, but when you've already invested, as the existing stockholders have, at much higher prices, there's a reluctance to see dilution at extremely lower levels. So, long question, but I'm wondering, to summarize, where does the robust cash flow come from without a higher copper price to service this possible debt on whatever terms and pay a dividend? What about renegotiating the, without a renegotiation of the royalty agreement, the power cost, lower power costs will just be wasted in another 2 or 3 years, the market will just discount the remaining value of the lower power costs. And lastly, the option question. I apologize for the what turns into a bit, sound like a bit of a speech.
Okay, well, there
were. Having gone through this for 4 years with you, I just thought I would take advantage of 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. Let me start with the option question. We have never reissued options at lower prices. We have issued options to management and directors over the years, but we never reissued options.
Mm. But reissuing new options on a recurring basis is tantamount to reissuing expiring options. If correct, I mean, if an option, if $500,000, if 500,000 options expire, and then the following year 500,000 new options are extended at a third of the price, that's tantamount to reissuing, even though technically it wouldn't be reissuing. It would be new options to perhaps new management, but it would still be new additional options.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't want to play with semantics here. You have the floor.
Right. Well, and you know, this of course is a duty of the board, and the board will certainly consider these kind of things, but on the other hand, you have to understand that if you want to have management which is capable and can do things, then you have to be competitive in the marketplace, and options usually are one of the items which management is looking for.
I guess from my speaking for ourselves, we prefer to see perhaps some kind of cash bonus compensation based on performance rather than options in light of the 80% decline in the stock over the last two and a half years, something like that.
Okay, well, we'll certainly take that into consideration. All right, but now to the more substantive questions. I guess your first remark was, you know, the sort of minute cash flow. Aurora was just saying that our cash flow has been pretty decent despite the low copper price. So, you know, you can even at present copper prices, you can see somewhere between $15 and $20 million of cash flow from present production. Now, if you just double that production and you don't change anything, then that $15 to $20 million works out then to $30 to $40 million of cash flow. But we have also said, and that's one of the reasons why we were so interested in getting a contract for Cauquenes, is because the working conditions in Cauquenes are significantly easier than they are in Colibas, and the grades are better. So that will translate into a further reduction in operating cost. So if you take all that together, you know, you can easily see after full production has been reached, without any change of the copper price, of something in the range of $50-$60 million, and that certainly will allow us to service the bank debt, and will give us the possibility of also paying dividends at that time.
Close, not to,
so
get
two things.
Yeah,
doubling of production is important, that you have to keep in mind, and the further reduction of operating cost.
But isn't that operating cost reduction coming from primarily the reduced power costs, which in fact, by the time all this is completed, will be drawing to an end?
Well, I haven't commented on power yet.
Okay.
But you know, let's just assume everything stays the same. Then we have significantly lower operating cost in Cauquenes than, for instance, what we have in Colibas. So then your third point was power. Well, you may be interested in knowing that present power costs are 8 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, we now have a contract where we have a fixed price, which is higher than what the present marginal costs are.
So the assumption
that power costs will definitely be higher than what our present power contract is, I don't know whether that assumption can really be made so easily.
No, I'm just assuming it would become variable, subject to higher or lower. I assume the 8 cents right now is the new spot hydro price. Is that accurate?
That's right.
So, I guess you made your own point that how dramatic it has fallen from 20 cents to 8 cents. It's certainly conceivable without locking in a fixed price that it could be escalating again. Perhaps the fixed cost of 10 cents or what, 10 and a half cents is, although higher than the spot price, is an advantage because you have the certainty of at least
absolutely
controllable cost.
Absolutely. All I'm saying is if you have a situation where the power costs are not anymore in the 20 cent range, but, they are only right now 8 cents or, who knows what, as you say, what they will be, there certainly is a much better possibility of concluding another power contract in the range of prices which we have right now.
Okay. Can you, Leslie, touch on the royalty situation? Any chance of that? I mean, that has been it was said at such a different time, in a different environment, under different circumstances, and it is a substantial impediment with cost now approximately $2 without the royalty, but with the royalty, it's almost egregious in how much of the cash is getting extracted.
Yeah, well,
I know it can't be changed as it stands, but in light of the new development program, is there a consideration to can we expect the royalty on everything going forward to mirror what already exists? Would it change just for the ramp up, or would it be renegotiated entirely?
The main change that will occur is that a situation like 2008, 2009 in the financial crisis will not occur again. That occurred because, as you say, the royalty agreement is a very old agreement, which we inherited, and it was based on the fact that royalty is payable above 80 cents. And that was agreed at the time because these were the operating cost plus depreciation, and what we have achieved this time is that we have said, well, that's exactly what we want now again, namely operating cost plus depreciation. That's the basis for the royalty. Below that, no royalty will be payable.
So what is the new term of the royalty going forward then on the expansion?
Well, as I just said, it's based on operating cost plus depreciation.
But is there a floor on the operating cost that they have put in to protect themselves, or a ceiling on it, or?
We have negotiated a number right now, which is around $2, but this will be adjusted to the actual operating cost when we are in production.
Okay, so it is variable. What is it, reset annually?
Yeah.
So it's the variable operating cost reset annually plus depreciation, you say? Plus depletion or an allowance?
No. No, you look at the cost, at the cash cost.
Right.
You add the depreciation, and that's the basis at which royalty starts to be being paid.
Right. Well, okay, I thought that's what I just said, adjusted for, yep, for depreciation.
Right.
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 Okay. Thank you. Appreciate
okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Arthur Mason from Caslow, British Columbia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. My thoughts are the same as the last gentleman. He expressed a lot of my concerns. I started purchasing shares in Amerigo back in 2007, I think, and I've watched them come down considerably. And now with this expansion and the length of time it's going to take, I'm just wondering if I'm going to be around long enough to even see the value, the money I put into this company, if I'll ever see it back again, or if it's just if I've just thrown it all away. The shares now are were at their lowest. It seems to me there's always some excuse by you guys.
Well, we haven't used any excuse in our presentation here. We told you that we have worked very hard to bring the operating costs down. Sustaining capital is down. And we have assured that the operation can be around for, you know, another 20 years or more. While up to now, we only had a contract till 2021. So I guess a lot of people were saying, well, you know, what's going to happen? 2021, so, you know, and I think the longevity gives you the insurance in a cyclical market to make it through bad years and through good years.
Yeah, but I know you probably don't. What's the reason the shares are down so low? Lots. Is it because people have lost faith in you or in your company or in you guys? Or I don't understand it. I mean, like I say, they've just continued to drop. Now, how many years before we see a dividend again? I mean, it just came back here and boom, it's gone again. I suppose that'll be, into how many years with these bank payments that are going to be necessary and stuff, how many years are we looking at? 6-7 years before there's a dividend?
I hope not. I mean, I'm a large shareholder of this company. but, you know, I mean, I don't know whether you have followed other copper producers and what their share price has done. I mean, I have followed a few where the share price has gone, you know, down 95%. Luckily, we are not that bad. But that's what I mean, you know, in a cyclical market, you have these trends, and I certainly hope that with the new agreement which we have on Caucasus and the accompanying reduction of operating cost, this company will turn around.
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, I don't want to sound negative. You know, I invest a lot of money with you fellows. I just hope it does turn around because, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And I work.
Neither am I.
None of us are.
I had a hook chokers and fall trees during the money I put into. They said to invest. This is best way to make money is get people you think are smarter working for you. So then I put money in Amerigo, and I don't know if you guys are any smarter than me, but anyway, hopefully you'll turn things around there because you're not happy with.
Okay, well, as I said, you know, I'm a big shareholder, so I have a lot of interest in that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Attridge in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up on the royalty question from the fellow from New York. What sort of percentage will the royalty be out to Codelco?
It will be At present prices, basically the same as we have right now. So a little bit higher, perhaps, but very minute. At higher prices, it will be higher than what we have right now. At lower prices, it will be less.
Okay. So you're protected. You're protecting yourself on the downside here.
On the downside, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And my final question is: there's been a lot of volume in the stock over the last few days. Any thoughts as to where it's all coming from?
We don't know the seller, but we certainly watch that too. You might want to talk to, you know, some of the brokers, you know. They may know something. But we do know that on the other side, there were some American funds who bought.
No, I know. You're definitely finding buyers. I'm just sort of curious as to who's selling in large quantities down at this price level, whether it's a mutual fund getting redemptions and therefore having to sell things. So,
I mean, it was a large quantity, and there are not that many owners of these big blocks. So it could very well be a mutual fund or a pension fund or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I just wondered if you had any thoughts on it. We'll see when they finish selling. We'll see a rebound in the stock, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Nick Tour in Las Vegas. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. A couple of quick questions. You had mentioned, if I heard it correctly, that 2014 production might be similar in levels to 2013. I guess we would expect it to be, you know, somewhere north of 50 million, because hopefully you won't have the same issues you had last year. And then secondly, in terms of the royalty agreement, just so that I understand it, is it going to be reset based on your operating costs every year and not a fixed amount like it was in the previous agreement?
Yeah, it will be reset, but not if operating costs change, you know, by 2 cents or 3 cents or something like that. But if there are some significant changes, then it will be reset.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously just through inflation, you would expect inflation, over a 20-year agreement, that operating
right.
costs would go up. So
yeah.
This would take that into account, which the 80 cents, you know, fixed price didn't take into account.
Right.
Okay. And then on the next year guidance, was I correct in assuming that you are expecting it to be, you know, at 50 million plus, or are you expecting it to be at the current level that you are right now?
Rob, you want to comment?
And we're still in the budgeting process, so, you know, we don't have a definitive answer on that yet, but, you know, the early indications are that it's going to be similar to this year. I'm working on getting the number out, but we don't have it yet.
I guess that's my question. Why would it be similar to this year if the issues that led to the lower level of production this year are going to be resolved this year?
Yeah, I'm going to be down in Chile next week, and I'll know more then. I don't have the full answers yet.
Okay. All right, that's all for me.
Thank you. The next question is from John Polcari in New York. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a quick follow-up on the financing. Yeah, am I correct that you're envisioning a debt-only financing?
At this point, yes.
And that might be sufficient with a pledge of assets. I assume you're not able to rely on some kind of Codelco or government guarantee, correct? You would have to stand alone.
Right.
So, would you entertain the bank requiring a partial equity financing?
They don't require it, but as I said, the debt financing from the bank will not cover the total amount of the capital expenditure requirements for the new project. But we think the cash flow which we have during construction will be sufficient to make up for that deficit. So, in fact, it is a partly an equity financing with internal cash flow.
Right. Is it also a safe assumption then to assume that probably having to finance this at least partially internally through cash flow generation, that even a modest dividend of a penny or whatever would probably be something that might occur toward the end of the construction phase?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see, you know, how this goes.
But it probably would be more likely to occur later on in terms of nearing completion and showing the bank that the project is nearing completion as opposed to being sooner.
Right.
But there's nothing that would preclude once the project is completed and you're generating higher cash, as you said, perhaps 30 or 40 million, maybe more, and servicing a term loan or whatever the structure is, it may not be unreasonable to think you could do that simultaneously with some resumption of dividends, correct?
Yeah, we have always stressed that fact with the bank.
Okay. Thank you. That was it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Lincoln Chu in Toronto. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes, I would like to ask you if you can make any comments on the shareholdings of your large outside shareholders, namely Mr. Ross Beattie and the Rural Family Trust.
What kind of comments? They are shareholders. Yes.
Okay. Is their ownership increasing or decreasing, or staying the same?
You have to ask them.
Staying the same according to their insider reports.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Kuda.
Thank you very much, operator, and thank you, everyone, for attending our Q3 conference call. We look forward to talking to you again with our full-year results, which will be in February of next year. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.